All right. Good to see everybody. It's nice to see everybody at the morning program, isn't it? This is amazing. It's one of the best morning programs attendance at anywhere in the Western world. This is definitely Krishna West. Although, many of you are wearing dhotis. Sorry. Yeah, actually, Prabhupada was the original one who referred to the Western world in Sanskrit. We mentioned this last night. Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejantarani. So, Prabhupada came to destroy this illusion of impersonalism and voidism in Paschacha Dejantarani, the Western world. So, Prabhupada was the one who actually originated Krishna West. It is pranam mantra. Prabhupada wrote his own pranam mantra. Nowadays, the gurus don't write their own pranam mantras. That would be kind of funny. So Prabhupada wrote his own pranam mantra, and his pranam mantra, it says West. Okay. So, after that advertisement, we'll go on to Krishna's. It's a pretty heavy class today, anyway.
Jai Ravanagarupa Kundaviha
Oh,
His divine grace of Ayachanana, the Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Jai, ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Jai, and then the devotee voice now, Prindu Jai, Namacharya, Srila Vidas, Bhaktivedanta Jai, friends say, Guru Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Sidwaita Gadadha, Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrind Gijaya Shishi Radhakrishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kunda Dagunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Jirnam Gijaya Navaritam Gijaya Swami Gijaya Yivanamai Gijaya Shivani Vilasya Devi Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrind Gijaya Go Vrindavanam Gijaya. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we have quite a few people watching this morning on Facebook Live, even from Split, rather than others watching this, but anyway, I want to welcome all the devotees overseas and also the devotees here. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is a prose verse rather than a poetry verse, from the fifth canto, chapter 14, text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I'll just read this text because it's not poetry. Vachitcha Vatya Pamyamya Ramanto Yahu Hamaropitasta Kala Rajasavachani Buddha Ivasadu Mariado Rajas Valaksho Hide Devata Ati Rajas Vala Matirna Vijanati. Read that three times because that's what Papa said we should do. Vachitcha Vajja Vajjao Pamjaya Ramadhyaya roham arupatastat kalrajasa rajani bhuta ivasadu maryadu rajas valaksho pidik devata ati rajas valamatirna vijanati kvachitcha vatya upamjaya Ramadhyaya roham arupatastat kalrajasa rajani bhuta Ivasadu marchado rajasvalaksho pidig devata ati rajasvalamatirna vijanati. Okay, word by word synonyms. Kvachit.
Kvachit.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
vacha vacha
vacha
opamyaya
opamyaya.
Compared to a whirlwind.
Compared to a whirlwind.
That's like a tornado. Pramanteha.
Pramanteha.
By a beautiful woman.
By a beautiful woman.
Aroham aropitaha.
Aroham aropitaha.
Raised onto the lap.
Raised onto the lap.
For sex enjoyment.
For sex enjoyment.
Tatkala rajasa.
Tatkala rajasa.
By the passion of lusty desires at that moment. Rajani Bhutaha.
The
darkness of night.
The darkness of
night.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Asadu Maryadaha.
Asadu Maryadaha.
Who is without proper respect.
Who is without proper respect.
For higher witnesses.
For higher witnesses.
Raja Vala Aksha.
Raja Vala Aksha.
Blinded by strong, lusty desires.
Blinded by strong, lusty desires.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Dikdevataha.
Dikdevataha.
The demigods in charge.
The demigods in charge.
Of different directions.
Of different directions.
Like the sun and the moon.
Like the sun and the moon.
Adhiraja Vala Madhati.
Adhiraja Vala Madhati.
Whose mind is overcome by lust.
Whose mind is overcome by lust.
Na vijanate.
Na vijanate.
He does not know.
He does not know.
That witnesses all around.
That witnesses all around.
Take note.
Take note.
Of his impudent sexual act.
Of his impudent sexual act.
So translation. Sometimes as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind. The conditioned soul sees the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called pramada. Being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman, and at that time his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desire and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. He does not know that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods, and he enjoys illicit sex in the dead of night, not seeing future punishment awaiting him. So we'll go on to the purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 11, it is said, Dharma virudo puteshu kamo smi vadatar shiva. Sex is allowed only for the begetting of children, not for enjoyment. One can indulge in sex to beget a good child for the benefit of the family, society, and world. Otherwise, sex is against the rules and regulations of religious life. A materialistic person does not believe that everything is managed in nature. And he does not know that if one does something wrong, he is witnessed by different demigods. A person enjoys illicit sex, and due to his blind, lusty desire, he thinks that no one can see him. But this illicit sex is thoroughly observed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the person is punished in so many ways. Presently in Kali Yuga, there are so many pregnancies due to illicit sex, and sometimes abortions ensue. These sinful activities are witnessed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a man and woman who create such a situation are punished by the future, in the future, by the stringent laws of material nature, Kaiva, Yesha, Gurumayi, Mama Maya, Durakshaya. Illicit sex is never excused, and those who indulge in it are punished life after life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter, text 20, Asurim yonim hapana buddha janmani janmani mama prapyaiva konteha Toyam jada mam gatim. Attaining repeated birth among species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not allow anyone to act against the stringent laws of material nature. Therefore, illicit sex is punished life after life. Illicit sex creates pregnancies, and those unwanted pregnancies lead to abortion. Those involved become implicated in these sins so much that they are punished in the same way the next life. Thus, in the next life, they also enter the womb of the mother and are killed in the same way. All these things can be avoided by remaining on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one does not commit sinful activity. Illicit sex is the most prominent sin due to lusty desire. When one associates with the mode of passion, he is implicated in suffering life after life.
Rajani Bhutta Iva Sadhu Marjado Rajaspalacho Pite Devatati Rajaspala Matir Navishanati.
Omagana Sivanandasha Sivanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. A very heavy verse. And, of course, we're doing a lot of preaching right now to university students. And so this is something that's really a challenge. And what we find is not only that people are engaged in illicit sex according to the Vedic injunctions, but they are engaged in what we call serial illicit sex, I mean with different partners. Cereal means not something you eat in the morning. You know, like oatmeal or something like that. The cereal means one after the other. Parallel means all at the same time. And that may happen too. Just like, we do a lot of preaching at the university, so sometimes a boy comes and says, you know, like you meet my boyfriend. We're madly in love. And the next week, another boyfriend or girlfriend, we're madly in love eternally. The next week, the next one. And I'm just thinking, Hare Krishna. And there's no concept of commitment. This is a real problem in general, not only in regard to, you know, man-woman relationships, but in regard to all sorts of behavior of people in this modern age. The people just don't make commitments or don't keep their commitments. Whether we're talking about marriage, or boyfriends, girlfriends, or we're talking about even the relationship with the spiritual master, or to their parents, or to basically anything. Everything is just like wild nowadays. Especially in what, we were talking about this yesterday, especially in what we call the millennial generation. Many of you are members of the millennial generation. Millennial means people grew up during the time of the millennium, that means the year 2000. Got it? So, you know, I'm millennial generation to 1900. Anyway, it's a joke. Past millennium. Anyway, so. Not that old. So, there's this whole idea, and it's due to a lot of different factors. I mean, one factor is the electronic media, where you get instant gratification. I mean, for example, let's say if I want to do some research, then I just Google it. It's easy, isn't it? Even in the university, when you attend courses, you're allowed to Google and go on, you know, what's called Wikipedia. And of course, in this one, we have Vanipedia, so you don't have to read Prabhupada's books anymore. You just go Vanipedia. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's good. It's a good resource. You've heard of Vanipedia before? You don't have to read the books because I want to find out, put together a class. I just go Vanipedia or I go into the Bhaktivedanta database and I can just say what Prabhupada said about certain topics. topic. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? No, but I know I can talk about any topic because I just need my computer for 15 minutes before class. So, anyway, the same thing in the university. They go to the Wikipedia. Same thing. I'm sure it's the same here in Slovenia. And so this instant gratification. And then also, if you want to buy something, at least in America and other places too, if you want to buy something, you don't even have to go to the store anymore. You just go on, in America they have this thing called Amazon.com. I don't know if they have that here. They do. And you just press a button, even on your mobile phone, you have an app. I have apps, of course. Mobile phone, you just look at it. And you just, boop, push the button. And it's there the next morning. It's fantastic. You don't have to get out of your bed. You're just shopping in bed now. Confirmed. You can go to Mangalarti on bed, in bed, you know. Mayapur TV. Isn't that great? Mangalarti in bed. I mean, when I was young, I sometimes had breakfast in bed. That's moochie, of course. Unless you're in the hospital bed, it's also very moochie. So it's just like this instant gratification. You want something, you got to get it. And then you can, just to figure out when the thing is coming, you can go on the internet and see where the truck is to deliver, you know, delivering your package. And then you get it. Wow, it's great. And then you have, of course, credit cards where you can buy things and you don't have to pay for them. I mean, this is definitely a generation of people into instant gratification. Of course, you know, I'm so much into technology, I guess I got the same problem. So, instant gratification, no commitments. You know, you don't have to commit whether you're a man or a woman. You can change every day. It's like one time someone came to Prabhupada, and one day the person was a man, the other day the person was a woman. I don't have a problem with that. And then Prabhupada said, just pick one and stick to it. You know, there's no problem. Prabhupada didn't have problems with people changing their gender if they felt, you know, nowadays, of course, you have these really conservative devotees who have problems with that. But we don't. We just want people to be Krishna conscious. All right, so you want to be a woman? You want to be a man? Fine. But just not one day you live in the brahmachari ashram, the other day in the woman's ashram, in the lady's ashram. It's ridiculous. And one day you're on one side of the temple, the other day on the other side of the temple. I mean, you know, we're open, we're liberal. But not every day. Right? So, but people are like that every day, you know, there's like shifting relationships and, you know, there's all those different names for sex, metrosexual, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, you know. So you can't even figure out what it means anymore. Because people just don't make commitments. And, you know, people live with each other without getting married. And the importance of marriage, people say, well, marriage is not important, it's just a paper. Don't they say this sometimes? It's just a paper. Well, it is a paper, but it indicates a commitment, you know, a vow. Just like we have initiation or we have a marriage, this is going to be a marriage here on Monday. Don't get scared, anybody. It's not you. So, although there are a heck of a lot more white devotees here than I've ever seen before. Right? Is it? Before it was all a sea of saffron, now it's the milk ocean. So, but what is a marriage ceremony? I mean, why do you have all these different things in the marriage ceremony? You know, so fancy. So people take a vow seriously. I mean, initiation? Basically, I saw Prabhupada do initiation. He just pulled out of the beads, chanted on them, said, okay, your name is that. That's initiation. Initiation means to begin. Initiation means to connect with the spiritual master. But if there's no ceremony, people don't take it seriously. That's, you know, that the reason for the ceremony, of course, also to invoke the mercy of the spiritual master, invoke the mercy of the deities, the Vaishnavas, etc. But basically, to take your vow or promise seriously. That's very important. Whatever commitment you make, you take it seriously. That's why we talk about marriage rather than just boyfriends and girlfriends living together. I mean, I spoke to one devotee couple, boyfriend and girlfriend, and I said, why don't you get married? You've been together for so many years. You know, 30 years. No, it wasn't 30 years. It was like 4 or 5. I said, no, it makes life much difficult when you're going to split up. Because then you got to pay for a lawyer, right? I mean, it's expensive. You got to go to court. There's a judge. You know, who gets the children? Who gets the dog? You know, it's a whole procedure. Who gets what money? You know, the money thing, too. It's a really big thing. So, you know, just make it easy when we get divorced. So people are already planning to break their commitments. And especially now they have these prenuptial contracts. But before people get married, they say what's going to happen after they get a divorce or when they get a divorce. So I think that's a major factor that makes illicit life very prominent nowadays. And, you know, of course, all the signboards. I mean, you drive into the city in Ljubljana. I mean, last time we were driving, and there's some naked woman on the signboard. You know, what can you do? It's like a jamil. Prabhupada describes a jamil. He saw a shudra and a prostitute or a shudrani embracing. And Prabhupada said it wasn't so common in those days. Now you see it everywhere. I mean, practically any movie you go to see, there's practically no innocent movies. I mean, when I was young, there were so many innocent movies, like Bambi. You know, it's innocent, you know, children's movies, it was nice. But now, you know, Bambi was having an illicit life with some other deer. So this there's practically nowhere you can go to escape from these things. Isn't it? I'm just saying, there's just nowhere you can go. So it's a real challenge. And as mentioned in this verse, that by the attraction, men for women, women for men, it's like a blinding whirlwind that one forgets about one's own self-interest. And an example, a Vedic example of that, of course, is the story of the churning of the milk ocean. When the milk ocean was churned, of course, a lot of things came out, a lot of nice medicine, different things came out. But one thing that came out was the amrit, the nectar. Actually, the devotees always like that word, nectar. That class was nectar, that kirtan was nectar. Your nectar, I'm nectar. You know, so the amrit was a drink. It was Ayurvedic drink because it was brought out by Dhanvantari, the Ayurvedic doctor, original Ayurvedic incarnation. And this drink could make you live, it says immortal, but not actually immortal, but, you know, a long time. Because even the demigods are called Amara. Amara means immortal, but it means so long, it's just like immortal and they don't get sick and everything like that. So anyway, so they churned, got out the nectar. The nectar was presented, and the demons stole it. So the demigods had a problem. The demons aren't going to share with us. And naturally, when you have a problem, a devotee goes to Krishna. If you're not a devotee, if you have a problem, you, I guess, take medicine or something. But if you're a devotee, you go to Krishna. You start chanting Krishna's names more enthusiastically. So they went to Krishna. Krishna said, Lord Vishnu, he said, I'll take care of this. So immediately he assumes the form of Mohini Murti. It means bewildering form, Mohini. It's like, he probably one time gave the a spiritual name to someone, Mohini. Mohini. Of course, that's can also be a name of Radharani. Don't worry. So Mohini, and Mohini comes before the demons, and the demons who have all this nectar of immortality. Imagine, you know, someone says you could live for a long time, never get sick, and just have to drink this potion of this herbal medicine or whatever it is. And then some lady comes before you and you forget about drinking. That's pretty bewildering, isn't it? Of course, when the lady happens to be the Supreme Personality of God, it's quite understandable. So they have this Amrit, cures all diseases. Imagine, let's say you have cancer, diabetes, you're getting ready to die. Okay, here's this drink, it'll cure you. And a lady comes. Forget about the drink. Kind of stupid, isn't it? But this desire is always there. And of course, there's a story Prabhupada told about the Brahmin who was telling the sadhu who was telling the king that the desire is even up to the time of death. And to prove it, he brought the king to see this dying man, and the king also brought his daughter, the princess, a beautiful girl. And the dying man, instead of looking at the king and the sadhu, kept looking at the beautiful girl. So he proved the point. So anyways, the demons, they just looked at Mohini Murthy and said, "Wow, Hare Krishna." Of course, they didn't say Hare Krishna. That would have been out of character for the demons. So they look, and basically, they said, "You know, we have a problem. And what's the problem? How do we divide the nectar?" Because the demons were fighting with each other. The Lord also inspired them within the heart to fight with each other, so that the demigods would have some time and the Lord could do his trickery. So they said, "Can you divide this up equally?" And she even said to them, "How can you trust me? You know, just you know, you just met me." And the demon said, "You know, you're so beautiful, we can trust you." Really logical? You know, if someone's beautiful, you can trust them. You may be able to trust them, may not be able to trust them, but it doesn't make sense. It's what we call in philosophy a non sequitur. That means it doesn't follow. It doesn't follow at all. So the demons basically said, "All right, we trust you," and she did her tricks, or she, he. So even Krishna is a cross-dresser sometimes. That's why we can't criticize people who want to change their gender, because Krishna did it many times. In the past times of Vrindavan, Krishna changed his gender. And appeared before Radharani just to trick her. So it's fine, cross-dresser, whatever. All of these things are there in Krishna's pastimes. Everything's there in the spiritual world. It wouldn't exist here unless it was there. So then, instead of giving the demons the nectar, we know she gave the demigods the nectar. One demon caught, understood what was happening. That was Rahu. So there's an example of how bewildering it can be. You know, other examples, I can go through all the Vedic literature. You know, sannyasis were trained to give all these examples. When you first take sannyas, you know, they train you in the sannyas course to give all the examples of illicit sex and lust and everything and how bad it is. You're protected. There's Vishwamitra Muni, who became attracted to Menaka. As a result, Shakuntala was born. Then you have Vishwamitra Muni, who Ramba came and got angry and burned her to ashes. I mean, so many stories that people just lose it. So, what to speak of all of us? And of course, even Lord Shiva, when he was confronted with Mohini Murthy, he just lost it also. He started running all over the world, just chasing her, because he wanted to see the attractive form of Krishna. Of course, that was a pastime. And so, how do we deal with it? I mean, this is a very interesting question. I think that's really the point of this. How do we deal with it? Well, one can deal with it, first of all, by saying we're being watched 24 hours a day by the demigods and by Krishna. And that's a pretty scary way to deal with it. I mean, I guess it could work, but it really ends up with a lot of repression. What's that?
It's like Big Brother.
Yeah, Big Brother's watching you. There's a camera. You can become paranoid. You know, I'm on Facebook Live 24 hours a day, you know? God knows it. Just like sometimes I'm giving a class, and, you know, sometimes we have to speak about things like Krishna West and among certain people that are actually a little controversial. So I'm just worried who's watching me, you know? The rest of the GBC watching me right now. I'm in trouble, you know. So there's certain things, you know, we're speaking about certain things like the situation in Croatia. Oh, we have to make sure we have to see because so this is confidential, right? We don't want to get in trouble. So anyway, so but it's pretty difficult to understand you're being watched 24 hours a day. I mean, what can you do and get away with? You know, you can't do anything. It's just like, so if you think like that, I mean, it actually is true, but still, it doesn't put you in the right frame of consciousness. You just become bitter after a while, isn't it? Oh my God, I'm being watched. Can't I get away with any damage? It's like being in prison, where they have a camera on you all the time. So that can help, you know, at least not doing anything, if you really believe. But also, if you get bewildered, you don't care about it anyway. I mean, it's like people do things that are bad for their health, even though they know they're bad for their health. I mean, why do people smoke cigarettes? On the package it says, this is going to kill you. And in some countries, they actually put pictures of cancer on the package. And, you know, that's pretty scary. Or, just like someone had a, I know someone who had a throat operation because he had cancer in the throat from smoking. And he had to breathe through a hole. It's called a tracheotomy. He had to breathe through a hole in his throat. So instead of giving up cigarettes because, you know, he could smoke with his mouth, he smoked with a hole. People, you know, come on. So stupid when people are so attracted to things in this world. It's just like, it's unbelievable. They're addicted. It's an addiction. And so he was smoking, you know, for the whole of his throat because he couldn't stop smoking. So sometimes, even though we know better, we know we're being watched, we still do it because it's Avritam Ganai Tena Ganai. That's right. It's just like one is forced to act helplessly according to the impulses of the modes of material nature. And that's what Bhagavad Gita tells us. So, because this is, here we're talking about the mode of passion and ignorance, so it's just one is forced. Mahika Sitchana Janamapi Jatutishti Karmakrit Karite Yavasakarna Sarva Prakriti Jayaguna. I mean, you're just being forced. So really, how do we deal with it? Well, there's several methods. One method is that you understand, and Chris is also very intellectual, you understand the attraction we have in this world, man, woman, woman, man, whatever, is actually a reflection of the attraction between Radha and Krishna. Like we were explaining before, that everything here is present in the spiritual world. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter talks about the reflection aspect, the banyan tree reflected on the body of water. Everybody knows that chapter? That the banyan tree appears upside down because it's a reflection and you're standing on the bank. And the banyan tree, another thing about the banyan tree is if you've ever seen a banyan tree, you can't even figure out, even if it's right side up, where are the roots and where are the branches. Because the roots, the branches become roots. The banyan tree goes out, it branches out, and it puts down roots from the branches. So it's really a complicated affair there. So, and what to speak of an upside down banyan tree where the roots are up and the branches are down. So that's the material world. So whatever you see here, in other words, is there in the spiritual world between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and his, the cowherd boy, his associates and everything like that. And they are enjoying. I mean, for example, let's forget about the sex life, for example. Let's talk about sporting activities. I think many of you men, you're attracted to different sports, like soccer, rugby, football, right? It's natural. Even when in Fiji they like, for example, rugby, or Fiji Sevens is called, or whatever. I mean, I don't even know what it is. So one day they were they had the world championship, and it happened to be in the UK, which was the middle of the night in Fiji. And I was living in the ashram, staying in the ashram, and I heard all the devotees in the middle of the night chant Hari Bol, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was asking them, oh, you were having ecstatic kirtan. Wow, you're really good devotees. And they said, no, Fiji won. I said, why are you so attracted to these things? And then I understood they're very attractive because Krishna in the spiritual world has these sporting activities. You know, they play ball there, they joke with each other, they even like tease each other in the spiritual world, there's competition. You know, there's like that story of the Palambasura story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the coward boys had some competition and the people who lost had to carry the coward boys, not the other people. The coward boys had to carry the other coward boys on their back, right? And of course, one of the coward boys, you know, happened to be Palambasura, was just making sure he was a coward boy, making believe. And he had to carry Balaram on his back. And of course, Balaram killed him. So you see from that story, not only the demon was killed, but I learned from that story the coward boys are having competition and all sorts of interesting stuff. Krishna's, you know, tricky, Krishna's romantic. It's just, everything's there in the spiritual world. So when you hear about these activities in the spiritual world, that's one way that you can get rid of, as Prabhupada said, Mr. Lust. Prabhupada actually gave it the Mr. Lust. He didn't say Mrs. Lust. Mr. Lust. And then, you know, another way is the deity worship and everything like that. So these are all ways that Prabhupada gave. And in addition, I was thinking that one should, or one can analyze where these desires come from, even from a material context, or a material point of view. Let's say, you know, someone is just very lusty or whatever. What is the basic need that's there? What basic need is someone trying to express? For example, one may have a need for love, one may have a need for companionship. And then you don't end up beating yourself up so much. Beating yourself up means you're like feeling guilty. Like, you know, someone like the brahmacharis in the ashram, they feel guilty. Oh, I looked at that lady the other day and I was attracted. Oh, I'm so fallen. I'm a demon. I'm a rascal. Oh, gets depressed and whatever. So instead of getting depressed like that, you just understand that, you know, I have a need for love, a need for compassion, which are all bona fide basic needs. You know, we're not denying people those needs. As we spoke about yesterday, we'll be speaking about, I guess tonight when we talk about tonight's class based on the past, not even class, seminar, interactive, whatever you may call it, is going to be based on the chapter in my book, All You Need Is Love. So if you analyze like that, then you come up with a strategy to meet that need that doesn't violate the regulated principles, because it's perfectly all right for people to get married, to satisfy their need for love, their need for companionship. And it's not that one has a need to have a licit sex life. That is not one of the basic needs that anyone even talks about in the psychology. Hopefully. Of course, modern psychology, they may talk about so many nonsense things. They're talking about traditional psychology. So that's fine. You understand, I'm satisfying this need, don't feel guilty about it, and you satisfy it in a religious way, which gives you ultimately your need for happiness. Because happiness comes from being dharmic. Like, what does the word dharma mean? Dharma means not only, you know, duty, the set of the laws of God, Dharma, Dusaksha, Paditam. So not only does Dharma means the essential quality of a thing. Yeah. Like Prabhupada said, the Dharma of water is liquidity, the Dharma of fire is heat and light, etc. like that. So if you're fulfilling your Dharma, then you're happy. So really, that's what we want. We want to be happy. We understand our basic needs. And if you're grahastha, you have a certain grahastha dharma. You're sannyasi, sannyasi dharma. And then you'll be happy in Krishna consciousness. So if you do an analysis like that in terms of needs and in terms of dharma, then basically controlling the senses becomes, and doing things properly becomes easier. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world to control the senses. I mean, it's a struggle. But still, it becomes easier if you analyze things in terms of basic needs and dharma. So that's what I can suggest to you, in addition to understanding that God's watching you at every minute, in addition to thinking about your ultimate goal of life, which is to love Krishna. And one other thing I want to add, that if you make your Krishna conscious internal, in addition to being external, then all these things are not so difficult to control. Internal means that when you do your devotional service, you do it with your heart. Just like the word shraddha. Anyone's heard of the word shraddha before? It means faith. But actually, if you analyze the word shraddha, means to give your heart. That's the linguistic analysis of the word. So if while you're doing your devotional service, this is what makes us bhakti yogis. You know, yogis of love. Yes, a yoga of love. I mean, what can I say? All you need is love, love. All you ever need is love. Anyway, so then, if you do it with love, but that means internal. The external things are going on, you're saying your mantras, but understand what your mantras mean. We were talking about this last night. Last night, we had a gathering in someone's home, Baladev's home, and we talked about the Prashanam prayer. And I asked the devotees, you know, can you give me a translation of the Prashanam prayer? Nobody had the translation. And you're saying it all the time, Sharira, not in Sanskrit. We understand the Sanskrit.
Meaning.
The meaning, you know, the word by word meaning. And basically, you know, I drew a blank. I mean, some of the devotees, I'm sure they thought about it. They knew it. And so, what is that? That's Nimagraha. You're just doing things ritualistically. No wonder you're attacked by lust or attacked by bewilderment or attacked by different attractions in this world. Because there's very little, I couldn't say very little, but there's less spiritual things going on. I mean, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, what does it mean, Hare Krishna? You know, that my dear Lord, energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service, in unaligned devotional service. Think like that. And then you can actually be more attentive. You won't be committing an offense of inattention when you're doing your devotional service. And then you're satisfied. The yatma supersede. They survive from some power dharma yato bhakti nalsajay. Hoitakiya pratyata yatma. So if you're satisfied, then you won't look for anything else. You know, like I mentioned yesterday, if I'm satisfied with Krishna consciousness, I won't want to go hang gliding. I mentioned that yesterday, for those of you in class. Because your glass is full. As Prabhupada gives the example, there's no room for anything else. You know, like Haridas Thakur chanting his rounds, Mayadevi comes. It's a, you know, just she's like everything in this world that's attractive. You know, all the beautiful sunsets. Not only beautiful ladies, but like everything is beautiful. She's everything rolled into one person. That's Mayadevi. And she comes before Haridas Thakur and exhibits postures that would bewilder even the mind of Lord Brahma. And Haridas Thakur is just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she eventually takes initiation from him. That's how you can test your guru. No. Don't try that. We want the ladies testing their spiritual masters. but she was actually testing her prospective guru. Because previously she was initiated in the Ram Mantra and then she got the Hare Krishna Mantra. So, anyway, because he was an ecstasy. So why do you want anything else? You understand? Kevalananda Kanda. Okay, I think I spoke too long. So any questions or comments about any of these points? I cover a lot of different topics and bases. Questions, comments? Yeah.
I have two questions, if I may.
Okay.
You said that there are several ways to deal with these hopeless impulses that come to our senses, and you said that these two are intellectual. What about the people who are not so intellectual?
Well, that understand your basic needs. That's not an intellectual way. That would, if you're intellectual, then you're just analyzing, you know, what's my purpose in life? Does that fit my purpose in life? Christians watching everywhere. Bing! No. Like that. So for those of us, anyone who's rarely intellectual like that, that's good. But in Kali Yuga, very few people are like on the intelligence platform. So you really have to touch more to the heart of the issue. That's my feeling or understanding. And so, you know, what's my basic need? And also you reveal your mind to other devotees. I mean, there's more to it than that. You reveal your mind to other devotees, the other devotees will help you understand, you know, what is your basic need, your need for companionship, or to get married. But don't you and that Brahmacharini disappear in the middle of the night, you know, and just leave a note with Brahmacharya, or should have just gone off to get married, not get married. Then we discover you're in Hawaii or something like that. Anything. And not only, you know, there's the illicit sex life, but any impulses that we have that are against Dharma. And they're, you know, we're talking about the four regular principles, like gambling, you know, illicit sex, or eating things not offered to Krishna. Not only meat, fish, or eggs, but, you know, even bhoga. Krishna says in the Gita, if you eat food that's not offered to me, then you're verily eating sin. In other words, committing the Dharma. So, you know, I think devotees become more lax in that principle than practically anything else. That's the first point. Because when you eat food cooked by non-devotees, eventually your mind becomes wicked and you lose control anyway. So, devotees are not careful what they eat. Like Prabhupada said one time, he said, my disciples will eat any damn thing. And he was saying that sarcastically, not saying this is an instruction to eat any damn thing. Because you have to be careful what you eat. You are what you eat. And of course, the story Prabhupada said that Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and Grandfather Bhishma, they acted in improper ways in the battle of Kurukshetra and previously because they had eaten food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. So you don't want us to be careful with things like that. If you cultivate the mode of goodness Krishna consciousness, then it's easier. But devotees become very lax. They forget about that. Prasadam. Prasadam means the Lord's mercy. It doesn't mean food. It's not a synonymous word with food. You know, many people from India think prasadam means food. It doesn't. It means mercy. Prasad. So, anyway, it's a complicated thing. But if you have association, you keep association, you reveal your mind and confidence, then it's easier.
Yes. You mentioned Prahlad Bhaskara and that Balaram killed him, and we know that all these demons in Krishna Lila represent anarthas in our heart.
Yeah.
So, what does he represent? Which anartha? And why was he killed by Balaram, not by Krishna?
I have to consult my demon book. Actually, I have a whole seminar on that. The Lamasura, I think, represents the lust for the opposite sex. If I remember correctly. Does anyone remember? I think, yeah. He represents the lust for the opposite sex. But he represents the lust for the opposite sex, actually, basically. And Balaram, because Balaram is the original spiritual master. And the approach. He was also cursed by some sage to be killed by Balaram. But anyway. So we approach, as instructed by the Goswamis, we approach the spiritual master in Balaram. We become free from material desires. And then we approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform, and then we approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Brahma and Krishna. So that's Palambasura. He's an interesting demon. He changed his form. He appeared as a coward boy. In other words, that something may appear in this material world to be very nice, like, you know, illicit sex, for example, but then it manifests its real form after some time. Really, that's why we have Palambasura. Because he manifests in his real form, which was as a demon. He had an ugly face. So, anyway, these are some of the points. Any other questions or comments? Yes? Thank you. Yeah. At least he goes to Mangalarti. Yeah.
So he found a person who was lying on the ground and found out
that yeah, the opposite to Brahman, yeah. All right, so as far as the Avadhuta Brahman, he was self-realized. He was self-realized. He wasn't laying in bed because he was lazy. He was completely detached from the world. Most of us, we want to lay in bed because we're just lazy. And it's cold out. It's like nowadays, you wake up in the morning, it's freezing out, you want to keep the covers over your head, so. So, anyway, so he's on a different platform. I mean, like Lord Nityananda, he's an Avadhuta, too, and he was on a different platform, and so we should not imitate Lord Nityananda or these people on exalted platforms. So that's one point. But as far as using technology in Krishna's service, we have to be very, very careful. Because we can be used by the technology after some time. Just like Prabhupada said that there's dangers even on the royal road. Like, I mean, let's go back to the example that one is married. Not to his computer. But, or, you know, to a marriage. So, one could say, you know, I have a license for sense gratification. Probably said marriage is the best license for sense gratification. So, does that mean you have an unlimited license for sense gratification? If you get a driver's license, do you have an unlimited speed limit? No. You have to observe the rules within that. So we have a license to use things in Krishna's service, getting back to the point of technology. But we have to be careful of not falling into the illusion of being the enjoyer of that technology. And it is quite attractive, I can tell you that from my own perspective. Like recently I've learned about something, not recently, for a long time, something called VR. You know what that is? Virtual reality, where you get put on glasses and you can be anywhere in the world. And so I got a little, let's say it's called Google Cardboard. Cheap. So I got a little thing that held my mobile phone. You understand what I'm talking about? And put the mobile phone, it holds the mobile phone close to the eyes like this. And as you move around this place. And I tried it. I thought, wow, this is great. And I became very attracted to it. But, and of course, then I was thinking, how to engage in Krishna's service. Then I have to get a 360 camera, so when I go to a holy place, I can take pictures for this device. You understand what I'm talking about? And devotees can experience this. So, I've engaged in Krishna's service, but now, naturally, there is an attraction for the latest gadgets. Many people have that nowadays. So one has to be very careful because you can become enamored like that. I mean, I have so many gadgets. I hopefully haven't become enamored. I even have my own quadcopter. You know what a quadcopter is?
Yes.
You know, I'll bring it when we have the Padayatra here. I'll bring it so I can take pictures. I promised Ananta last year, right? And I didn't bring it. I apologize. So,
we saw Govardhan, which was nice.
Yeah, you saw the pictures of Govardhan.
From top.
Yeah, Govardhan, the temples on the top. I have all those nice pictures. I mean, I can show you all sometime over here. So, but there's always that tendency that while you're using things, the point I'm making is the tendency of thinking, wow, this is really cool. And then later on, you figure out how to use it in Krishna's service. So one has to be very careful. As far as Mangalarti in bed is concerned, if one can actually get up, it's better to go to Mangalarti. If you're sick, then use it like that. Or you can watch Mangalartis from all over the world. You know, Mayapur Mangalarti. It's pretty good. On Mayapur TV, isn't it? Some devotees do that.
Midnight.
So you get up. You can be in bed. You have my permission to be in bed and watch my poor Mangalarti. Fantastic, isn't it? So, anyway, you can figure out how to do that. Mangalarti in bed. But you have to at least offer your obeisances while you're in bed. Can't keep lying on your back with your feet to the mobile phone. Anyway. All right, anyway, any other interesting questions? Yes, Prima.
I was speaking with some young people, and they said that regarding that illicit life, one of the big problems is that already very young boys, even in high school, they become addicted to watching on internet pornography.
Pornography is a big thing, yeah.
So my question is, what would be your advice to some boy, young man who is trying to start practicing Krishna consciousness, but he's repeatedly falling back into this addiction?
Yeah, a great deal of the internet is used for that particular purpose. And young people definitely get addicted to it. I would say, like any addiction, then the only way to get rid of it, to stop it, something you're addicted to, is to quit it, what we say, cold turkey. You can't reduce it. You can't say, well, watch less every day, or you know, smoke less cigarettes every day. You just better give it up completely. And be very careful, be in the association of devotees. I mean, it's hard with these addictions. I mean, not only what you're talking about, the internet pornography addiction, there's other things. There's gambling addictions, there's smoking addictions, there's sex addicts. I mean, there's all these addictions that people have nowadays. And I think, looking at it from an empathic communication standpoint, to analyze what sort of needs you're trying to fulfill with that activity. I mean, I'll give you an example of one addiction I used to have. You know, I might as well use myself as an example. I was addicted to cheese.
Cheese?
You know, paneer, cheese. Some devotees who know me for many years will attest to that fact. That I used to go to India and I used to bring cheese with me to India in case they didn't have it. So I used to have devotees prepare bottles of cheese. You know, and I would carry them all to India, you know, just, wow, here's my Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese is my favorite. And pizza, you know, all that other stuff. People used to make probably all my, you know, when you're a guru, you get whatever you want. It's like, it's like being in the best restaurant every day, you know. You just, what would you like today? Oh, yeah, I'd like this. Okay, Guru Maharaj. So, breakfast, cheese on the oatmeal. Lunch, cheese on the steak. Cheese on the dormant potato. Cheese on that. Dinner, cheese, more cheese on the cheese. It wasn't that bad. I mean, and, oh, cheesecake. I forgot about the cheesecake. So, what happened is, Krishna gave, first of all, I went to the Ayurvedic doctor. You know, I had a friend in Vrindavan, this Ayurvedic doctor, many years. And he said, you gotta give up all this cheese. And I said, no. He said, it's going to kill you. I said, that's all right. Better to die happy. So, you know, just enormous. And then one day, the doctor, you know, I had discovered high blood pressure and everything like that, and then I had to face the fact that one day I may die, which I thought that would never happen. So, you know, hani hani bhutani gachanti yamaliam. Most wonderful things we see, everybody else died, not me. You know, I used to look at old people and thought, I'll never get old. So anyway, I, you know, there were some health issues. You know, there was arthritis, rheumatism, chest pains, you know, all sorts of interesting, nice things started to occur. And, you know, then I visited Radharaja in Germany, the doctor. And he took my blood pressure very high. Here's some pills for you. Took the pill, fainted. After I took the pill, brought my blood pressure down so much so that when I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I ended up on the floor of the bathroom. And that's a side effect. Read about the side effects of the pill, which are kidney damage, all sorts of interesting things. All the blood pressure pills are like that because the blood pressure is controlled by the kidneys, the adrenals. So I was facing this fact, you know, you're going to die, Maharaj, at the ripe old age, how old was I? 45. At the ripe old age of 45, you know, okay. And then I was thinking, I want to serve Krishna. So I was examining my basic needs. Well, of course, I didn't understand empathic communication at that time, but I still was doing that, examining basic needs, what's important, my basic priorities. And I said, you know, basically, I mean, there's a whole story about this. I don't want to tell the story. But anyway, so I was thinking, I got to give this cheese up. And I was thinking, I'm going to give it up. And then I thought, no, this is my purpose in life to serve Prabhupada. You know, what's your purpose in life? And then he gave it up. And also, anyway, there was a little something mystical there too. Because I had a, I don't want to tell the story, but anyway, I had a dream in the middle of the night, and this young man with a snake around his head was laughing at me. And he said, "You know, I can make it so you could live without eating if you like." I said, "No." So next morning I woke up and there was no attraction for cheese anymore. And I haven't taken it. I'm a cheese anonymous, you know. Join an organization. No, I didn't. And that is Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. They have all these anonymous clubs now. And truly, they do. I don't know if they have cheese anonymous, but they have Alcoholics Anonymous. So many anonymous, you know, Smokers Anonymous. And so you call Gamblers Anonymous. And so I didn't call anyone up. But Krishna, I called up Krishna, you know. And Krishna provided me. And I have no attraction. After that day, I had no attraction for it anymore. So one actually, I think if one thinks about its purpose in life, what is your purpose? What is your goal in life? Of course, that's intelligence, but then one can rewire themselves. Because addictions, my experience, that was the only addiction I've actually had. Pretty good. I don't have any other addiction. But my experience is that after a few weeks, your brain becomes rewired. But if you're doing it, if you're not doing it just to not do it, then you're thinking of it more. Does that make sense? If you're thinking, you're basing your life like these anonymous clubs, once a gambler, always a gambler, once a smoker, always a smoker, once a whatever, always a, you know. I don't think like that. I think like, I'm just doing my higher purpose, this is what I have to do for the higher purpose. I'm not thinking not to eat cheese, because that would be just disaster, because then you'd be thinking of cheese all the day long. So it's like sex life too. If you're thinking negatively about sex life, then you're just thinking of it, meditating on it. And then ultimately you'll give in to it. Because the more you meditate, jayato vishak pum san sangustesha vajayate. Sangayate, sanjayate kama, kama kura vijayate. The more you meditate on something, even negatively, you can't do a don't. Right? You can't do a don't. So I didn't give that up because of giving it up. I gave it up because I want to please Krishna. And so I'm not thinking of not eating cheese. You know, when I say, I can see cheese now, someone could pass it in front of my nose. Here's the cheese. You are feeling hungry. Close your eyes, open your mouth. No, someone could do that. And it has no effect on me because I'm just thinking of pleasing Krishna. So it's a higher taste, a higher devotion. Rather than giving up. So in other words, dealing with an addiction like that or any other addiction, don't do a don't. This is a negative. Don't do a don't. It's also not even following any instructions. Do a do. You understand? You know, what do you want out of life? And based upon your goals, help people focus on their goals. Then automatically things that are not productive to the goals will fall away and there won't be addictions anymore. That's my realization about addictions. What do you want? Do you want to be Krishna conscious? Yes or no? Be honest. Do you want to love Krishna? Do you want to please Prabhupada? Yes or no? I mean, be honest with yourself. If you don't, that's all right. Maybe not so great, but it's all. That's your choice. Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, all right, now, I've told you all this stuff. Do you want to fight or not? Your choice, free will. But be conscious of your desires and your ultimate goal in life. Just be goal-oriented. Then at least my experience is it's not such a difficult thing. I mean, because cheese is in casomorphine, which is similar to morphine. I hate to tell you that. I know you all love your Paneer subjis. But it is it's a physical component to it, of addiction. It's not just mental addiction. That's why, you know, devotees, when they have their paneer sabji, they take out the sabji and only leave the paneer. That means to take out the cheese. I take out the vegetable and only leave the cheese. And so unfortunately, the devotee who eats last only gets vegetable, no cheese, because everybody else has taken out the cheese. Yeah, and we did, anyway, I don't want to get into my health seminar here in class. So we get thrown out of the Hare Krishna movement if I do this. Especially since some of our cooks are here, you know. And I'm eating over one of their houses tonight, so I do want to get my dinner. So on that happy note, all glories to Shiva Prabhupada. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Here we got Sonia, Pradeep Chandra, Draupadi, Kunal Mani, Neela Madhava, Jai Radhika, Vishwanath from Fiji. Hare Krishna, Vishwanath. We're right now in Slovenia in Europe. Cyrus, Dave, Padma Gopi. Hey, Padma. How are you doing? I want to visit you. Pritika, Shimal, Chital Barman, Vaishnava, Philippe Goshalin, Sarvashakti, Kalasambara, Hare Krishna, Thira Prashanta, Acharya, Ranganode, Madhurini Radha. Wow. Okay. Big crowd here for class. Everybody. Hey,